I feel like I don't need this mic because I really want to sing from down here because there's 20 of us in here because of the 5 inches of snow outside. But thank you all for making the trek here. This is going to be a truncated service just because we don't want people to, you know, with the weather. I'm going to sing a few songs. We're going to do communion like normal. We're going to have Steve come up and give a sermon. It'll be like a normal service, just a little truncated. But let's stand and sing to our God, if you don't mind. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth. And the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is as he made it. And his hands form the dry land. And his hands form the dry land. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth. And the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is as he made it. And his hands form the dry land. And his hands form the dry land. Let's go to God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us the ability to drive in this weather, and thank you for the ability for our roads to be somewhat clear. For those whose roads aren't clear, please give them safe passage. Give them the safety that only your hand can provide, Lord. Thank you for giving us this time and space to be one with you. Thank you for this time and space to sing songs, to listen to words of encouragement and words of conviction, Lord. Thank you for giving us this time and space where we can be one in fellowship, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's stay standing for this next song.
I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad.
Amen. Please be seated. Song before communion.
This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world. I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and seas, his hand the wonders wrought. This is my Father's world. The birds their carols raise,
The morning light, the lily white, declare their Maker's praise. This is my Father's world. He shines in all that's fair. In the rustling grass I hear him pass. He speaks to me everywhere. This is my Father's world. Oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world. The battle is not done. Jesus, who died, shall be satisfied, and earth and heaven be one.
I wanted to paramount to Lord's Supper to read Isaiah 53, 1 through 12. Who have believed our report? To whom was the arm, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as were our faces, from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. All like we of sheep have gone astray, we have turned away, every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken, and they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him and to put him to grief when you make his soul an offering for sin. Yet he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. When you look at Isaiah 53 and we compare it to the life of Jesus, we see that this one chapter matches his life perfectly. He was born in difficult circumstances, noted in verse 2, as well. He was not interested in worldly fame and glory. People rejected him, as foretold in verse 3. They crucified and scourged him in verse 5. He claimed to be dying for the sins of the world in verse 6. And justice was committed in his trial in verse 8. He was buried in a tomb with a rich man, Isaiah 53, 9. He claimed to be the only mediator between God and men, verse 12. And so Isaiah 53 was written 700 years or so before Jesus' birth, right? Three quarters of a millennia. Before Jesus was even born, Isaiah knew the details of Christ's life. And more importantly, and most importantly, he knew that he would rise again and give us the hope of deliverance. And so as we take communion, right, the bread representing Christ's body and the fruit of the vine representing his blood, we remember that this is about hope, right? It's a celebration of a sacrifice that gives us hope for the future in the same way that Isaiah had hope for his future, when Christ would come for him. And we remember that Christ will come for us, and this is a reminder that we take each week. So as we think about that, and as we celebrate his death and resurrection, and our hope for the future, I'd ask that you bow with me as we pray for the blessing on the bread. Father in heaven, we thank you for the bread which represents Christ's body, which we partake as participants in your promise. And thank you for your promise revealed all that long time ago and fulfilled in Christ to redeem us through him. We thank you for your son who died and was born again, and in whom we place our very hope. And we ask that you forgive our sins and make us new through Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. I ask that you would bow as we give the ask the blessing on the fruit of the vine. Father, we ask for your blessing on this fruit of the vine that represents Christ's blood shed on the cross for us. We celebrate our renewed righteousness through your servant, as our iniquities are a thing of the past and no longer separate us from you. Through Christ's suffering and his blood, represented in this fruit of the vine, we are washed clean. In Jesus' name, amen. Separately, apart from the Lord's Supper, Christians are commanded to take up a collection for the work of the church, as this is a convenient time. I'd ask that you bow with us as we ask for the blessing on the giving as well. Father, we are grateful. We thank you that you have blessed us with the opportunity to live in such a prosperous time and in such a prosperous place. We are grateful for all the things that you have blessed us with, from our jobs to our families to the community that we find in this church of fellow believers and our very lives. And we ask that you use what is given here today for your purposes and your plans to further your kingdom here locally and beyond our region. We ask that you help our hearts to be as they ought to when we give, that we give with a joyful heart. In Jesus' name, amen.
Go. Don't move, kids. Because we are doing a truncated service, we're going to stay here and hang out with the adults. Right? No? Okay, awesome. Can we sing a quick song, kids? Virginia, that's a great song. All right, let's all stand and sing Jesus Loves Me. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. All right, one song and then Steve will come bless us. I hear the Savior. Let's restart that. I'm still stuck on the melody of Jesus Loves Me. I hear. Yeah, that's it. I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. For nothing good have I, whereby thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
This is the first snowy morning gathering of the Kanawha City Church in 2024, so welcome to everybody who is here. I always like what snow looks like. I hate what it does to church attendance, but I always actually like to see snow when I wake up in the morning. So this morning, what I want to do is just give a short little presentation about a short little psalm. I am wanting to do some things in Psalms, so I want to do Psalm 133 today. It's one of the shortest psalms that we have. It's punchy. It's just got one main message, and that's what we want to do. We spiritualize this psalm all the time, I want to say, but I want to start with catching its original meaning, and then we will go ahead and see whether the way that we spiritualize it actually makes sense. So I'm going to read Psalm 133 in its entirety. It's only three verses long, and ask God that you be present and powerful as we hear your word. How good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. It's like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robes. It's as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life evermore. In early years in Israel, family units were the norm. You can hear that still even later with this idea of household. The idea of household is a little bit different than how we think of today. Of course, family gets redefined all the time. It's not just now. Families have always been redefined through societies. And in the beginning, families were more like probably what we would think of as like a family reunion, where it's grandma, grandpa, all the grown kids, maybe even their grown kids. And there's a lot of people gathered there. And that used to actually be the unit. And that's the context of this Psalm 133, how good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. Now, when brothers don't live together in unity, it's not so good and pleasant. And a lot of experiences of family, it's not that great. But this is where we're beginning from. The idea of the whole unit living together, all the grown brothers, they're all together in this huge assembly, really. And that's where you'll see things like the Levirate laws in Deuteronomy 25, verse 5. It's a very foreign concept to us, but if brothers are living together and one of them dies, then the widow is not to remarry outside of that clan, but instead the brother is to go into her and they're to raise up children to the dead brother's name. That's all keeping in, that comes from that context of this whole family unit where they really are all living together. Nowadays, that would be ultra weird. But that was kind of done that way for estates and how things worked in ancient days. But it made sense. It was a sensible rule in Deuteronomy 25. It was a sensible rule to say that if a brother dies, then one of the other brothers who's right there, you know, that's the assumption. We're all together in one unit anyways. And so now, you know, you raise up kids for your own brother. And that's also why separation in the family was seen as such a failure. We may not always get that commentary, but it really was. In Genesis 13, for example, when Abraham and Lot can't live together anymore, they're fighting with one another, and so Abraham takes him out and says, you pick out the land you want. If you go to the east, I'll go to the west. You know, that sounds today like such a reasonable compromise, and it is, but it's a huge failure. It's a divorce. Genesis 13 is as much a divorce as any divorce would be seen as today. Jacob and Esau, Genesis 27, you know, Jacob going one way, Esau going another. These guys were twins. The idea that twins couldn't live together in these ancient days, it was really seen as very sad. So Psalm 133 is really praising the large, peaceful family unit. The oil flowing down the beard, that's a common image of masculine success and thriving. This is a really happy man. This is a very successful man. How do we know he's successful? It's not because he's driving a Tesla. It's because he's in a family unit, which is peaceful. And so that demonstrates just how wonderful it is. Dew of Hermon, that's the tallest mountains in the northern range of Palestine. It would never, the dew of Hermon would never fall on Mount Zion, but that's just the image. The dew of Hermon, the tallest mountain, the place where you get a lot of dew on that particular one, it would never reach Jerusalem, but it's just an image of refreshing. So how does all this then speak to a people who live in the 21st century, who view it as normal that grown brothers don't live with each other, who view it as normal that when our kids get to about 18, they're kind of moving away from us and they establish their own lives and we celebrate that. So how does this psalm speak to us? The way that it speaks to us typically is that sometimes we don't even think about the background of where it comes from and we spiritualize it right away. How good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity, and we think of that as the church. So if there's unity in the church, how good and pleasant that is. That's not the original meaning of Psalm 133, but I do think that's a legitimate reading of the psalm. That it's legitimate to say we know where it comes from and there's an image that it's pulling from, but does that image fairly apply to anything other than our own family? Well, the first application obviously would be what it meant to the original readers, which would be that large family unit. I think the second applications for us, it's good if our families get along. It's good to make that a priority. But I think it's even appropriate for us to continue to read Scripture through the experience of Jesus, which is how the apostles read Scripture. They read Scripture through the experience of Jesus. So whether some of these verses were written with the idea of Jesus or not, we read it through the experience of Jesus. And there's so much family imagery for church. The church throughout the New Testament is described as family. It's assumed to be family. So reading it through the eyes of Jesus, it's appropriate to read Psalm 133 as saying how good and pleasant it is when members of the church live together in unity, when there's peace within the church. The application to the church, I don't think, is too far of a stretch for this. I think it really does honor to what the original meaning of it would be. It's refreshing and beautiful to be with people who enjoy each other, who like to make peace a priority, who watch how they speak to one another because they want to get along well. So, how good and pleasant it is when brothers, and now I'm thinking about the church itself, live together in unity. It's like precious oil poured on the head, running down the beard, running down Aaron's beard, down the color of his robes. It's as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. Amen. Well, may the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. We're going to sing a song as we always do. If anyone wants to make any public response, they can. And I'm not going to go anywhere, but I'll be around and would love to have the opportunity to chat with you and pray with you if there's something that you would like to chat about or pray about. So let's sing.
Let's stand and sing. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of him in glory will the toils of life repay. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Onward to the prize before us, soon his beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open, we shall tread the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
Just a couple quick announcements before we close. Do appreciate everybody coming out on this cold wintry morning. Very, very happy to tell you guys about Greg Moore's brother-in-law, Gary. He had surgery, I think, back in 2022, I think the fall of 2022, and was in Cleveland in the hospital in ICU for about a year, I guess, and is coming home and is I guess, on the road to recovery. And so that's certainly an answered prayer. And, you know, we always fervently pray for people when they're facing difficult times. We need to fervently pray and thank God as well when he does answer our prayers. Also want to just tell everybody my mom's continuing to do better, and so we're thankful for that as well. And so anyway, just want to make everybody aware of Gary and his amazing recovery. And then also, I promised last week that we would have more information to come on Sunday nights, and I just did not get it done this week, so I'm sorry, but that will be coming. So let's go ahead and close in prayer. Father God, we're so thankful for our relationship with you, for the fact that you care for us, you love us, you hear us, and as Steve mentioned a few weeks ago, sometimes we don't pray to you expectantly, and we know that you're active in our lives. We know that you can do anything, and so we pray and we acknowledge your work in our lives. We acknowledge your work in Greg's brother-in-law's life, in my mom's life, in so many others' lives. And it's not just with our health, but in so many ways, you bless us and you provide things that we don't even probably recognize. And we're just so thankful for your loving, kind way and the way that you take care of us. And we just pray that we can even see those and acknowledge your greatness. Father, I want to continue to pray for our brother Tom Winnell. I know he has not felt well, and I just lift him up to you this morning and pray that you can give him strength and help him to feel better, and that his you heal him. And so we lift up Tom to you this morning. We're thankful for everyone that made it here this morning. We pray that you watch over everyone as we go our separate ways. Keep us safe on the roadways. For those that weren't here, we just pray that they're okay as well and that they're warm, and just help us to reach out and love on anyone that we didn't see this morning and check on our family. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.